The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perrow columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up again with Alex Passmore, Managing Director of WA Gold and Nickel Explorer / Developer, Rox Resources. The company trades under the code RXL or Romeo X-Ray Lima, to be sure. Alex will bring us up to speed today on how 2021 is shaping up for the company. Listeners will remember that we had Alex on back in June last year when Rox was a 2.5 cent stock. It's now trading at 3.6 cents for a market cap of about 75 million. As it was, the market started to get on board with the Rox story back around when we last spoke to Alex, as the Grace discovery had just been confirmed as a significant high-grade lode at the group's historic UMI project in WA. More than that, Grace opened up a whole new exploration fairway at UME in UME granites, remembering that there's already an existing 1.2 million ounce resource in established mineral styles at the project. UME produced 667,000 ounces of gold from open cut operations between 1987 and 1993, when the gold price was all of US $400 an ounce. It's owned 70% by Rox, who manages a joint venture with ASX-listed Venus Metals Corp. Now, last time we caught up with Alex, I mentioned the group's advanced Fisher East nickel assets. There's been some news on that nickel front earlier this week, which I'll get Alex to expand on in a moment, as well as some interesting stuff out of met test work on the Grace find. With that, I'm going to say g'day to Alex and welcome him back to the podcast. Hi, Alex, and thanks for your time today.
G'day, Barry. Pleasure to be here.
All right, Alex. Lots to talk about. Two pieces of great news this week, Alex. Plans for the nickel assets and met test results from Grace. Let's take the nickel news first. What are you up to there?
Yeah, sure. So Rox's nickel project Rox has several nickel assets, but the flagship one being the Fisher East series of nickel deposits. So these are located about 150 kilometres east of Wiluna in the Mount Fisher Greenstone Belt. And they're the sort of most advanced, you know, in the package. But Rox also owns the Collier Abbey Nickel Project and has interest in a joint venture to the north of Fisher East. And the board of Rox, you know, throughout last year has been reviewing the nickel assets, you know, thinking about how they fit into the overall structure of the company, given that we are very busy at UME and making discoveries there, and whether or not, you know, we can achieve everything that we want to achieve at the nickel deposits, or whether they would be more value, you know, outside the current structure of Rox. Given the advanced nature of Fisher East, you know, being 78,000 tons of contained nickel in resource with a scoping study completed and updated in 2018, and that shows that there's an NPV of about $79 million at nickel prices lower than today's, and it's a project that really needs a lot of attention and focus going forward. So we've decided to either spin those assets off into a new company that will be demerged and given back to Rox shareholders with a separate budget and a new management team, or alternatively, we are in discussions with various potential trade buyers. So, you know, we're running a parallel process.
Right. So I guess the long and the short of it is you seem to think that the nickel assets, or the value of the nickel assets, aren't properly valued.
Reflected. So Rox is trading at about a 70 million market cap with 9 million in cash and receivables. So at about a $60 million EV. And if you look at us compared to our peers in the gold development space, alone, we're trading at about half what they are in terms of EV per ounce. So the average is about 144, and we're trading at about $70 per ounce. And then that's before you even take into account the nickel assets. So, you know, if you reduce our EV further to take account of the nickel assets, we trade on about a third of what our peers are. So the board's view and my view is that, you know, we're trading very cheaply without the nickel assets being recognised, but we to unlock the value that's in the company and in the company structure, you know, and to give the nickel assets their own life and highlight the value that's there, an option is to, well, the strategy is to sell them all or spin them off.
Now, traditionally, nickel and gold as a combination, nice offsetting trading patterns. We can all go back to WMC, of course, with its gold and nickel, held them in good stead for many, many years. I was just wondering what the feedback, I know it's only early days yet, but what's the feedback from your shareholders? Are they supportive of the move? Are you getting people saying, no, don't get rid of the nickel just yet?
So I think people are waiting to see more details. So far it's, well, okay, if you can sell it, you know, agree, it's not getting a lot of value in the current structure. What sort of price are you going to get for it, what's the structure of the demerger? And we're not in a position to, you know, go public on that yet, because it's still subject to confidentiality and the documents aren't, well, the structure isn't quite finalized, given, you know, we're waiting for several balls to drop. So I can't, you know, without that information, it's a bit hard to say, but I think shareholders would reward a good deal. And we wouldn't do it unless it's a good deal, and we'll do, you know, the right thing by shareholders, absolutely, you know, by that for them. Now, it is a good combination. Nickel and gold do trade, you know, opposite each other quite often. I completely agree with that sentiment. And this case though is more about unlocking value just for rocks, because, you know, we are trading below par in my view anyway. And so. Whilst if you're, you know, a large company and you've got counter-cyclical earnings coming from both, you know, that's fantastic. But when we've got two development projects, one in You and Me Gold Project and one in Fisheries Nickel Project, we're probably trying to do, you know, a lot with limited resources, and not getting the valuation that we deserve.
Okay. Now, given your long history in both equity and capital market experience, floating companies, raising money for companies, etc. I guess it's going to be a smooth and quick process with this nickel.
Well, we hope so. We hope so, Barry. So the current nickel companies listed, and there aren't that many.
Certainly not anymore. With a resource like that.
Yeah, that's right. So 78,000 tons of contained nickel metal at almost 2% nickel, 1.9% nickel, is actually, you know, puts it on about the fifth biggest independent nickel sulfide resource in Western Australia. Mm. So it's actually quite a decent sized project and up there in the rankings. Projects are trading, equities are trading on about 1x NPV in the nickel space at the moment. Mm. We've published an NPV for this project of 79 million. Then there's all the other exploration ground, and, you know, fair to say we wouldn't be expecting, you know, we wouldn't be expecting anything near that in terms of a demerger and a spin-off to our shareholders. We'll be giving it to them, you know, at sort of, you know, cents in the dollar or 10 cents, you know, some number like that. So, you know, there'll be plenty of upside for Rock shareholders who can participate in that nickel spin-off should it go ahead, and should we not choose to pursue a straight sale, which we would do if we got offered a very good price.
Mm. But now, you mentioned the Fisher East area has been where the resource is and most of the activity, but you also mentioned Kohlrabi. I seem to remember there was some thought that the gold potential north of, I presume it was north, yep, of the Mount Regis gold operations on that belt.
Yeah, it progresses through to Kohlrabi. That remains untested. So we'll be dealing the tenements in their entirety. So the gold rights would go with that. It's a tricky area to explore. It's very remote, but yes, it does have good gold potential as well.
Yeah. So either way, in specie distribution to shareholders, potentially, yes. if there isn't a sale.
That's right. Yep. That's so, exactly a demerger and in specie, but in a tax effective manner. So it's so shareholders, one day they hold a Rock share, the next day they hold Rock share plus Newco share.
Right. Okay. Now, just to make sure you're not trying to just flush out a third party sale on all this, would be encouraged, of course. Timetable.
So. We expect to announce something at the end of late March. We're well advanced in terms of documentation and ASX application processes and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Okay. And there's every chance nickel will be somewhat higher than $8 a pound by then too.
It's looking like a great few years for nickel. And We want to retain exposure to that project, or we want our shareholders to retain exposure to that project. So, we figure, certainly the demerger and SpinCo case is a good way for us to do that whilst, giving our shareholders exposure, and letting us focus on you and me gold project.
Mm. Okay, now looking at rocks going forward with you and me, a real breakthrough there with the MET test work at Grace.
Yes, absolutely. So Grace is proving up to be, very metallurgically simple, which is fantastic. Very, very clean and easy to process from our initial work. We spent a lot of last year focusing on Grace and the northern part of Grace, and now we're moving to the south. So Grace is one of many north-south mineralized structures on the margin of the Ewanmi granite, and where they intersect the main load shear zone and northwest trending shear zone on the southern end of those structures is where we see the biggest gold accumulation. So the metallurgy at Grace, is good and just shows that there's a lot of free milling mineralization at Ewanmi. As we come south, we hope that continues. But certainly, there's a lot of grade and a lot of ounces, in these north-south structures.
I mentioned in the introduction there about how the discovery of Grace has opened up, I used an oil industry term, fairway of exploration that hadn't been touched. Can you just explain that to the listeners for us?
Sure. So historically, most of the gold at Ewanmi has come from the margin of a granite and a greenstone in a northwest trending shear zone, they call the main load shear zone. Historically, the exploration has been focused looking for, let's say, a sheet-like, ore body, shaped ore body that is planar and just strikes to the northwest, and it's along the boundary of the granite, the greenstone, and inner shear zone. So what we've discovered is that there's a series of north-south conjugate faults or shears, so related to that structures that go off into the granite, and they're not quite at right angles, but they're off at about 50 degrees to this planar structure, and where those two intersect, they form a pipe a vertical intersection, and it's the vertical intersection that is very important for our exploration model. And that's where we see, big accumulations of gold. So up to, 700 to 800 ounces per vertical meter in each blowout zone. Mm. And so if you join up enough blowout zones, you then have a mine. And, a good high-grade underground gold mine in Western Australia might be, 2,000 or 3,000 ounces per vertical meter. And so if we get these intersecting structures being 800, we don't need too many of them to make an underground, a good high-grade underground mine. Now, the sort of grades we're talking about are, plus 10 grams. Solid grade for a small high-grade underground.
Almost Victorian style grades. So how's that shaped what your exploration effort this year?
So we will be focusing more on deeper diamond drilling, looking, you know, looking at these pipes, if you like, or these, you know, mineralized envelopes that plunge very steeply, where these two structures intersect, just by nature of the shape of these structures, they need to, you know, you need to get deeper, to delineate them properly, and that means we need to swap from RC to diamond drilling. So there will be more diamond drilling this year, and that will be more targeted than the RC drilling, you know, that we've been doing.
Right. And are you drilling currently, or what is the
yes? So luckily enough, we had an RC rig sitting. As we currently talk, Western Australia is in lockdown. Hopefully finishes in a couple of days. And we had an RC rig up on site. So this is drilling out the top parts of those pipes that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And we had an RC rig already on site. So it was, you know, we're deemed essential workers and so forth. And we are part of the mining industry. And so if there's a drilling rig sitting on site ready to go, well, you have to get there. So our staff are able to keep operating.
Right.
So that program's just ongoing, and then we've got a diamond rig heading up there in about 3 weeks.
Right, and you're funded for 21?
Yes, so we've got 5.25 million in cash, and that, you know, that gets us, you know, a long way down the track. So funded for the time being.
Right, and what's given your? I mentioned your equity. And the capital markets background. What's your read on the gold sector now that the gold price is giving up some, but not all that much? Is the funds there for ongoing exploration efforts by juniors?
I think so. I think the gold price obviously had a huge amount of tailwind with. With QE programs and stimulus programs driven by the COVID-19 pandemic, and a very, very low interest rate environment around the world, so that, you know, that's helped, and we've seen that flow through to the gold sector, and also, you know, in Aussie dollar terms, you know, the gold price has gone up to $2,600 an ounce, which is a pretty unbelievable price, and then it's come back and is resting at around $2,400. Now, I think it will trade, you know, strongly whilst interest rates are low. So, you know, it may not continue to be on such a, you know, a tear upward in an upwards trajectory because, you know, the money printing and the QE programs slow down. But it's very support. You know, there's a supportive environment for gold as long as interest rates are low. But some of the industrial production related commodities and the battery commodities, you know, are definitely, you know, doing well, and they do, you know, take some of the, you know, equity risk capital away from the gold sector, you know, back into their respective areas, and those areas have been highlighted with, you know, with a greening of the economy and EV boom, etc.
Funding is always there for a good project anyway, isn't it?
It is. If you're high grade and you've got a good return and a sensible project, funding is absolutely, you know, not too hard to get. Yeah.
So, Alex, what can you tell us about, scoping studies, resource estimates, resource upgrades, that sort of thing?
So this year for us is about – So it's about tying together all of the drilling from 2020 at Youanmi into a new resource. Mm-hmm. We'll be adding in the Grace resource, and we'll be, you know, using our new exploration model to instruct the sort of overall global resource as well. Right. And then we're drilling two new exciting targets called Link and Junction, which are, you know, two of these intersecting plunging mineralized bodies. So that resource work will be done in the first half. We're hopeful of getting something out in March, but I'll promise the first half, and then scoping study thereafter. And then next year is a financing and constructing year. Right. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, everything goes well. When would first production be possible, you think?
In around in early 2023.
Right, which is not all that far off now.
Well, no, I know it sounds a long way off, but you know, by the time you've completed all the studies and actually built a whole new project, that's how long these things take. But you know, that's quicker than you know, discovery to mine for a lot of greenfields projects.
Yes, true. And I understand you've already got a pretty substantial mining camp there left over from the operation back in the 90s.
We've got a good head start there. So we've got, you know, offices, workshops. That they built back in the Gold Mines of Australia days in the 80s. They used to have staff in better accommodation than contractors, who were seen as a lot of great people. So we've got some nice limestone block. Reconstituted limestone block houses there, so we can accommodate about 30 or 35 people there reasonably comfortably, which is good from an exploration point of view and a startup point of view. And then of course the infrastructure that's on site, so you know, power lines, roads, ball fields, that all really helps for building an operation. And knowing, you know, we're on a granted mining lease, we know what the risks are in terms of, you know, dewatering the mine and geotechnical issues, and so you know that or the fact that it's a previous mining operation really, really does give us a head start.
All right, Alex, you've given us a great rundown on the company there, and obviously lots to look out for as March rolls around and beyond. Obviously, so at this stage, I'll say best of luck with it all, and thanks for your time today.
Pleasure, Barry, and speak to you soon.